Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromising word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time, I said every time, I come to church on the rock, my faith, my family, my peace gets stronger and stronger. Give God a shout of praise. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, indeed. We are talking about the armor of God. And maybe you're looking at me like, well, what's this young whippersnapper going to teach me about the armor of God? I've been studying this before he was born. I got underwear older than him. Like, that's disgusting, by the way. But that underwear, not part of the armor of God. Let me read what's part of the armor of God. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to move quick here. And this is going to be very simple, and it's going to be practical, where you can take it and apply it quickly. You're going to take it and apply it today, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord. Now, this is Paul talking. Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard, like Paul, what Pastor was saying. Every 4 hours, they will rotate. He's in prison, waist deep in waste, but he's still giving the church of Ephesus this command. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on all, somebody say all, of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand, say stand, firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm, standing your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor, the God's righteousness, the shoes, put on the peace from comes from the good news to be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit at all times. This is the armor of God. Seven pieces to the armor of God. We are commanded to put on all of the pieces. What's the big idea for today? The armor of God is the knowledge and the proper application of God's word. Pastor covered this in week one and week two. It's not just the knowledge of God, but it's the proper application. Say application. Okay? How do you put on the armor of God? It's reading the word of God. Who's reading their one-year Bible? Anybody reading their one-year Bible? Yes, yes, yes. Reading the word. How does the armor actually work? Is when you not just hear it, but when you do it. It's not just the head knowledge, but it's actually the proper application of it. Today, we're putting on the shoes of peace. Because I'm not sure if you noticed, but we are in a spiritual battle today. Has anybody gone through something this week that you're like, you know what, we're in a spiritual battle. I've gone through a lot this week. You're in a spiritual battle today. You're not fighting flesh and blood, but you're fighting a spirit that's trying to attack you, but you have to put on the full armor of God. And these shoes of peace are not just to look cute, right? Any sneakerheads in here? You just don't want to look cute. You want these to be functional. When you're in the battle, you need to make sure you have on everything. You need to make sure you're prepared. Tomorrow, I know Pastor and Daniel and Stephen, they're doing the Murph. I think I'm doing the Murph as well tomorrow, right? That's a 1 mile run, okay? 100 push-ups, 200, or 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, another mile run with a 20-pound vest on. Pastor's been training for this. I've been training for this. But putting on the armor of God is preparation for the battle because you will all go through a battle one way or another. What is biblical peace, you might ask? This might look like peace to you. This might look like peace to you. Let's see what we got here. Okay? Anybody like the beach? Yeah? Yeah? You like the sunrise? You know, you like your toes in the sand, running through the beach in slow motion, right? You like that, right? It's peaceful. I like the beach. I like the beach. What else might look like peace to you? The Chick-fil-A drive-thru line. Anybody? Come on now. That's peace to me. You know, because you know you can get in and out five minutes. They give you all the sauces that you want, right? They say my pleasure, right? That might be peace to you. But this really is what peace looks like to most of us. A storm, a hurricane, a tornado, something that's powerful, but peace is right in the middle of it. When everything around you is going crazy, you got to have your shoes of peace on because you got to have some stability today. Peace often looks like this in our lives, where you have to find peace when you're in the middle of a battle, when you're fighting and all hell is breaking loose against you. John 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." Jesus left you and I peace. It's that inner confidence and stillness that God is with you regardless of the circumstances around you. I said it's that inner confidence that God is with you regardless of the circumstances around you. You're not going to be without chaos. You're not going to be without a storm, but you can have peace and resolve even in the middle of it. Peace does three things. Three things, as the pastor shared with me. The gospel of peace helps us stand. Write that down. Helps us stand. Helps us stand. Yeah. Stand firm. Stand tall. It says in Ephesians 6, stand. We have nothing else to do but to stand. You stand. Number two, the gospel of peace helps you stay stable. You not just want to stand, but you want to have some stability. Number three, the gospel of peace helps you stay secure. Helps you stand, helps you stay stable, and then helps you with some security. And in order to do that, you have to put on the shoes of peace. The shoes of peace. What do the shoes of peace look like? The Roman soldiers had these shoes on, and they look similar to this. All right, some of y'all think they look cute, but these are functional shoes that have leather that wrap around your foot. They form to your foot, and they have spikes and nails on the bottom so they can sink down into the grass or the dirt and give you some stability and mobility. You have to be able to move with these on. You have to be able to fight with these on. You have to have some security to help you stand, stay stable, and be secure. Because if you slip, guess what you might slip into? You might slip into fear. Anxiety, worry, lust, complaining, depression. When you don't have your shoes of peace on, it's easy to slip, but today we're putting on our shoes of peace. I know here at Church on the Rock, we're putting on the full armor of God every day. Am I right? I said, am I right? Come on now. Now, Matthew 7, verse 24, where our church is founded on, it's when those of you hear the word and then be a doer of the word, right? You're on a firm foundation. You're standing in your shoes of peace on a firm foundation. So when the winds and the waves and blow and beat against your house, you won't be moved because you're on a firm foundation. It's easy for us to have what I call a profile picture peace. Does anybody know what I mean? Profile picture peace, where your profile picture looks one way, but in reality, you look a different way. Y'all don't believe it. Because you've seen profile pictures before, right? And you're like, wow, that's a great picture. And then you see them in person, you're like, you know what? I don't know if that's... Because they got the right angle, right? You know, they hold it up high, you know? You take a picture for somebody, they're like, hey, hold it up higher. Can you hold it up a little higher, right? And you're like, you want a Google satellite image? Like, you hold it up so high, but you don't even look like the same person. In person, you don't want to be anxious and angry and dramatic and offended. You want to have the peace, that resolve that's inside of you that's consistent no matter what. Put on your shoes daily. Somebody say daily. Daily. Yes, yes, yes. You don't want to leave your shoes out. One of my pet peeves is when people leave their shoes out in the hallway, leave their shoes around the house, right? You're tripping over the shoes, right? You want to put on your shoes daily. Ephesians 6, verse 13 says, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. You don't wear yesterday's armor in today's battle. You want to put it on daily. Don't wear yesterday's armor in today's battle. So that means every day we need to put on the armor of God. Am I right? Put on the full armor of God. Some people say, you know what, Neil? I'll have peace when I get married. Y'all quiet. Mm-hmm. I'll have peace when I have kids. Ooh, child, listen. I'll have peace when I get promoted, when I get more money. I'll have peace when, no, you have to put on peace now. Put on peace now where you feel like, yo, I'm not going through battle, but I'm gonna put on peace now, every day. It's a daily battle. It's a daily battle. Peace is not found in circumstances. Peace is found in Jesus alone. So this is where you're gonna wanna take some notes, okay? How do you actually walk in peace? We're gonna get very practical, because it's not just the head knowledge. It's the proper application. Okay, so number one, prioritize your relationship with God. This is how you put on peace daily. prioritize your relationship with God. How do you do that? You set an atmosphere of peace. Kim does this really great in our home. She sets an atmosphere of peace. Maybe you have worship music playing. I'll tell you, point A is have a place. Have a place. Every day, have a place where you go to, this is my place of peace. Maybe it's a prayer closet. Maybe it's a room that you go to. Maybe it's your car, like Pastor Kim has her prayer truck. Have a place where you can, matter of fact, have a clean place too, right? Clean it up a little bit so it feels real nice. You ever go to a nice hotel? Anybody go to a nice hotel, go to a nice spa? When you walk in, don't you hear the music playing, right? You smell something good. You go to the Four Seasons, you go to the Ritz or something like that. You're like, oh, it feels so nice, so lovely in here. They ain't got rap music playing when you walk into the Four Seasons, right? Boom, boom, boom. No. You have this atmosphere of peace. It's a place where you can rest and feel rejuvenated. Have a place of peace. Also, have a period of time of how long you want to spend in your place. Maybe it's 15 minutes a day. Maybe it's 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. Have a place, have a period of time, and also have a plan. Have a plan. Have some resources. Maybe you have, like Daniel gave us, he has the prayer tabernacle guide, right? Have some resources in there. Have your one-year Bible in there. Have some worship music playing. Have a plan, because what happens is, and I'm sure you've done this before, where you have your place, right? And you have maybe your cup of coffee right here. You got your candle lit. Got your little fuzzy blanket. Got your Bible out, your highlighter. And you take a little picture for the gram. And you're getting ready to spend some time with Jesus, right? And you're like, oh, praise the Lord. Got my space heater on. Feeling good right now. Ah, praise God. You fall asleep in your place of peace. I've done it, right? Or the kids walk in, somebody distracts you, or you get on your phone and then you get a notification, or I gotta answer this email. Have a plan, right? Have some resources in there that's gonna help you stay focused so you can actually accomplish something in your place of peace. Okay, number one, prioritize your relationship with God. Number two, create margin in your life. Create some margin in life. We have a paraphrase here that says, be early. This is something I'm working on personally, is creating some margin. Because how many of you know it's not very peaceful when you're rushing everywhere, right? When you hop in the car, you're driving down the road, you're trying to put your makeup on, you're eating something, and you got the GPS going, the music's playing, you're texting somebody, and then the kids that are back, hey, play a Forrest Frank. And then all this stuff is going on, and you're like, would you shut up in the back? Like, everything's going to happen. And how do you arrive with peace if you just came out of chaos, right? If you want to show up to your work, show up with some peace. You want to show up to your house, show up with some peace. Create an atmosphere of peace in your life. This is practical application of how you actually create environments of peace. Jesus walked everywhere. Did you ever see Jesus running in the Bible? Huh? Was he ever, oh my good, what happened? Peter, what happened? What happened? Did they heal him yet? Like, Jesus created margin so he could get there. He could get turned by the woman with the issue of blood. He created margin in his life. He had some time and some space because he was the Prince of Peace. Create some margin in your life. Number one, prioritize your relationship with God. Number two, create margin where you have a little space. And number three, practice gratitude. These are practical things that you can do today. Practice gratitude. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, this is good. This is good. This is worth coming to church for. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace. There it is. There it is. It says, don't worry, but pray. Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And then you will experience God's peace. This peace exceeds all understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, it says one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, aka stop whining and complaining. I'm gonna keep reading, all right? Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What you focus on determines your level of peace. What you focus on determines your level of peace. What are you thinking about? You have to think about what you're thinking about. If you're always thinking negative thoughts, It's easy to do. If you're always online listening to negative things, which is easy to do, because your algorithm will feed you what you've been listening to. And it'll keep feeding you the same thing over and over. And you're wondering, why am I not in peace? Well, what are you looking at? What are you listening to? What are you thinking about? Let me ask you a question. Are you a peacemaker or a drama maker? Oh, don't look at nobody. Do you bring peace or do you bring drama? Which one are you? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's not just enough to be in your prayer closet, but when you get out of your prayer closet, who are you? Oh, I know. Because we can pray the heavens down in the prayer closet. We can have the glory fog in the closet. We, hey, Shabbat, hey, hoo, ha, ha, all that. Shut up, bada, ha, we all that, right? In the prayer closet. But once we get out of the prayer closet, we act like the devil. It happens to all of us. It's up to us to bring peace from the prayer closet with us to wherever we're going, with us to the office, with us to our families, with us to the world, with us to the comments, right? And I know I hear Church of the Rock that we're doing that. I know we're doing that. How do you bring peace? Okay, this is good. Get good at your gift. Get good at stewarding your gift well. This is how you practically bring peace to your boss. When you're good at what you do. David in the Bible was both anointed, which is very important, right? And skilled. Okay, 1 Samuel 16, verse 16 says, let us find a good musician. Let us find a good musician. Let us find a good musician. This is King Saul's court. To play whenever the tormenting spirits trouble you, King Saul, he will play something soothing and you will be soon well again. Let us find a good musician. You can get so good at what you do, you can bring peace to somebody, right? And it doesn't have to be something creative. You don't have to play the guitar or sing or anything. I mean, you could definitely do that because that's definitely soothing. But maybe your gift is encouragement. Maybe you're good at encouraging people, right? You say, oh, man, you look good. Your hair looks great. Oh, man, that outfit, ooh, get them, I see you, right? You can encourage people. Maybe your gift is leadership. Leadership brings peace to people, right? When you're a great leader and when you're confident and when you're casting vision and when you know your business well and when you're taking responsibility for the things that happen, that's good leadership. It brings peace to the organization. Hospitality might be your thing of setting an atmosphere, an environment of peace. Maybe it's organization. Anybody that's good at organization, raise your hand. Yes. Oh, I love, yes. You're good at spreadsheets, Excel. I love it. Yes. Okay. When you're good at what you do, you bring peace to the organization because they can relax it. You know what? Peace is here. They got it. I love it. Peace is here. Put on the shoes of peace. Okay. All right. So let me, number one, get good at your gift. Number two, stay with me. Take responsibility. Oh, I know. Take responsibility. What does that mean? Apologize. I knew that would go over like that. Forgive. This is how you bring peace. This is how you put on your shoes of peace. When you apologize, you forgive. You stop gaslighting people. Oh, I stepped on your sandals. Uh-oh. Stop being so defensive. You know, I was in a meeting with Daniel, and I was asking Daniel, like, hey, is there anything I can work on? Anything I can do better at? He was like, well, you know, Neil, sometimes you're defensive. I'm like, no, I'm not. Wait a minute. I think you got a point there, right? Stop being so defensive. Everybody wants to be right. I get it. But sometimes you can be right and wrong at the same time. You can be right about the issue, but you're wrong with your attitude. Maybe you need to sit back and listen. Maybe you need to ask for feedback because some people won't give you feedback, what you really need, unless you ask them for it. Because they say, you know what, you're ready for that feedback. So we're taking responsibility. Paul, would you come up here real quick? Paul, would you come up here real quick? Okay, make some noise for Paul real quick. Okay. When you take responsibility and you stop fighting one another, you can bring peace to wherever you go. Because sometimes we're like this. If Paul faced me, we're gonna fight. I didn't bring the real deal up here because I didn't want no problems, okay? I want no real problems, okay? I'm just a champ. I love you, but we had Paul come up here. So this looks crazy, right? Because Paul is taller than me. I'm facing a giant right now, right? And sometimes you have a giant in your life that you're facing, and you're trying to fight this person, and he is not your enemy. Your boss, your spouse, that person, that's not your enemy. So we're trying to do a little dance here. Okay, don't throw nothing at me. Okay. I'm $1.50 and some change here. So you're doing this dance, and you're trying to fight this person. Meanwhile, your back is exposed, and the enemy's creeping up on you. Because you're trying to fight the person right here. What would be good is if you turn around here, and we're not fighting each other, but we're fighting for each other back to back, right? So when I'm moving, you're moving. So we're moving here, okay? Okay, so I got your back, you got my back, right? Right? I kind of got your back. But you know what I'm saying, right? Right? But here's what happens when God is right here and your peace is right here and you have your shoes of peace on every day. Wherever I go, you go. So you got my back, right? So peace is behind me. So when I walk into that boardroom, when I walk into the office, when I walk into the house, I got peace behind me. Peace is following me because I know peace has got my back. It's a shadow of peace. It's a covering. God is with you and God is for you. So I know I can talk a little spicy. I'm like, I wish you would. I wish you would because I know peace has got my back. So when you walk into the office on Tuesday morning, you got to know, you know what? I'm bringing peace with me. When you go into your house and everything's going crazy, you know, I'm bringing some peace with me. When I go into the streets and go into those comments, I know I got peace with me. I can talk that God talk. If God be for me, who could dare be against me? Because peace has got my back. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you. Thank you. Proverbs 17, verse 14. It says, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate, so stop before a dispute breaks out. You know what's about to happen when you mention this one thing. You know what's about to happen when you bring it up, so stop a dispute before it breaks loose, before it goes crazy. Proverbs 21, verse 9. You're not going to like the scripture. I'm just going to let you know right now. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. I'm going to leave that one right there, okay? I'm going to need security to walk me out. Tell me, thank you. Appreciate you. Colossians 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be holy, a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Because remember, the Lord forgave you. Oh, yeah, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from the Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You have to clothe yourself, put on the full armor of God, put on the shoes of peace daily. And when you put on those shoes of peace, you can walk into chaos or you can walk into a resolve. You can walk into steadfastness. You can walk into peace. Every day we got to put on something. And every day our shoes will take us into one place or take us to another. Has anybody ever been tempted in here? Anybody ever been tempted? Oh, just me? Just me? Has anybody ever been tempted in here? Be honest. Be honest. Let me say quick story time with Neely time, okay? I'm gonna be vulnerable real quick. Because sometimes our peace takes us to the wrong place and sometimes it'll take us to the right place, right? So a couple days ago, we got some new patio furniture. The weather's starting to turn, it's feeling nice. We spent a lot of money on patio furniture. We power washed the patio, had the barbecue pit out there. I'm moving stuff, feeling really manly, like, right? Right? Feeling real good outside, right? So I get everything together. It's feeling real nice. And Kim's like, hey, Neil, since you work from home, you can actually go out to the patio and you can work out there. I'm like, you know what? That's a great idea, right? So I get my things. I make myself a little sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Get myself some Boulder Canyon chips. And I go outside to answer some emails to get some work done. Across the way, like 15 feet away, our neighbors, they have a pool outside. And it's a nice pool. It's very lovely, great patio. And I'm gonna be honest with you. There was a woman that I've never seen before in my life came outside to the patio in some pool attire. Had a little cover up on, and I'm trying to answer my emails, right? And I'm by myself, I'm just doing my work, and I see her the chair move, and I look up, and she takes a little cover up off, do a little shimmy and whatnot, getting ready to tan. Y'all looking at me crazy, but I'm just being honest with you, right? And I'm just trying to answer my emails. And I hear the suntan lotion being applied and whatnot. I'm like, ooh, cha, listen. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to stay focused, right? And as all this is going on, you know, you have the little devil on your shoulder and the little angel on your shoulder. The devil's like, Neil, this is your house. You need to stay outside on your patio. You pay the bills here. You ain't got to go inside. You need to do what you got to do. This is your house. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Let me stay out here. Right? I'm trying to amp myself up, right? And then the angel of the Lord who whispered in my ear, he was like, hey, dum-dum. Hey, stupid. Get in the house right now. Flee. Run. Was I doing anything wrong? No. Was she doing anything wrong? No. But I had to take my shoes apiece and remove myself and position myself to actually have some peace. Right? Because sometimes we was trying to stay and fight when God's like, you know, you need to take your shoes and you need to go, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to answer some emails, eat my little sandwich, but I'm like, no, let me go in the house. I close the door, close the blinds. I texted Kim. I'm like, Kim, girl, it's 2:14. I just want to timestamp this. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We be trying to resist, but we don't want to submit. Daniel just talked about this a couple weeks ago. We want to resist, which is good, but we got to first submit to God. What is he saying to do? Resist, and then the devil will flee from you. Put on the shoes of peace. As the team comes up. Every day we have an option. We have an opportunity to put it on, the full armor of God, or to run around streaking naked without any armor on, right? You got to put on the full armor of God. Led by peace. You know, 12 years ago, I remember, you know, Kim and I, we were thinking about moving to China, actually. Cross the world to China. I had this dance opportunity. I auditioned for this dance tour, and I was I had a good job, making about six figures, and I was going to give it all up to go across the world, my friend and I, and we were going to dance on this tour. I made it, he made it, and I thought I should go. I thought I had a piece about it, and I met with our parents, and then I met with Pastor and Pastor Kim. And I remember sitting in the room over there, you know, they're sitting in the room listening to me saying I'm going to move to China to go dance. And Pastor's like, okay, okay, tell me more, okay, you're going to go to China, okay, praise God, all right, right? And then Pastor Kim, she's sitting in the back like, that ain't it, bro. That's a no for me, dog. I was like, well, okay, but they didn't tell me what to do. But what did Pastor tell me what to do? He said, Neil, be led by faith, joy, and peace. I thought I knew. Just like Abraham, he heard from the Lord, right? Take your son Isaac, go sacrifice him. But guess what? Abraham kept listening to God. I kept listening. I kept seeking. I kept asking for feedback. And guess what? Just like Abraham listened when he said, Abraham, stop. I heard the Lord says, you know what? Don't go. I didn't have the peace of God to go with me. My friend ended up going to China, right? And I'm FaceTiming him, and he's sitting in a dark room eating noodles, and his hairline is jacked up because they didn't have a good barber over there at the time, right? Their agent left them. They were getting chased by the Chinese mafia, literally, and he was like, I'm so glad you didn't come on this tour. Thank God I was led by peace. Thank God for Pastor and Pastor Kim, right? Again, John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give it as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. My friend, we're all in a battle. If you feel like things are good now, praise the Lord. But you're going to be going through a battle sooner than later. And you need God's peace. He didn't say money I give with you, money I leave with you. He didn't say possessions I leave with you, success or status I leave with you. He said my peace I leave with you, because you can have money, followers, success, status, influence, but still be empty on the inside. If you don't have God's peace, you don't have much at all, because you can't enjoy all the blessings that God has given you. All of us need God's peace. Peace is not a product for purchase. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're lurking for peace today, if you're searching for peace today, if you can't find peace today where you're struggling and you're striving and maybe you're being tormented in your mind right now and you need some relief and nothing else will satisfy you. You can move to another location. You can go to a great hotel and go to a different place in the country, but you can still bring that anxiety, that worry, that depression right there, and your mind is still fighting. Maybe you can't sleep tonight. Maybe anxiety is just worries you become about your kids or about the job or about the finances and the gas is high and things are food is high and you just can't get any peace. Let me offer you some peace today. This is not religion. This is not head knowledge. This is how do we apply the peace? It's first of all, receiving Jesus. He is your peace, the Prince of Peace. If you haven't received Jesus today, you haven't made him the Lord of your life today, I'm going to encourage you right now and give you an opportunity in just a few seconds to say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need his peace today. Or maybe you know the Lord and you haven't been walking in peace. Maybe all heck is breaking out against you, or you just can't find peace and you're restless and you're making drama because you just can't find peace yourself. Let me offer you peace today. Don't leave the same way you came in today. I want you to rest well tonight. So if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, a simple prayer to offer you peace. I see hands already. One, Jesus loves you. Two, the time is now to receive your peace and take your peace and offer your peace with you. Three, put your hands up if you want peace today. If you want Jesus today, put them up high. Put them up high. Come on. Come on. Anxiety is loud. Stress is loud. I see you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. I see that. You're making a declaration today. Say, you know what? Today is my day. I'm not leaving the same way I came. I need peace today. And Jesus, you got it. You are it. And I'm taking it today. I'm taking it today. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on, put your hands down. Put your hands down. Put your hands down. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need you. You are the Prince of Peace. You are my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart. Change my life. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross and you rose again. I ask you to come into my life. I make you the Lord of my life, and I believe I receive your peace in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, saints, can we give God a big shout of praise?
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is For You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is For You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.